We bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly, gracious, and loving Father, help us to see that each of us, created by you, is a living temple belonging to you. And may we, in our bodies, share that tremendous love that you have for each of us. And may we live our lives as temples belonging to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Today we need to listen to the voice of truth, especially in a world that is filled with lies. As I was trying to prepare for today, I really wanted to talk about the calling of Jesus' disciples, and yet there was something that brought me back to this text from 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. We need to talk about the truth in a world filled with lies. In one of our Lutheran schools, Olivia, a little kindergartner, came to the teacher and said, "Teacher, Parker is breaking the sixth commandment. He's committing adultery." The teacher looked at Olivia and said, "Well, Olivia, what do you mean?" And Olivia looked at her straight in the face and said, "Well, teacher, he's committing adultery because he's acting like an adult." Truth, we need to hear the truth sometimes. I don't want to talk about what's going on in our world with, and I thought some of you might think I'm going to have this big sermon about what's happening in our world today. But I want to take us to this text because it is talking about the lies that we live every day in our lives. When it comes to who we are as God's people, this body that belongs to God. We've all heard it. Yes, we probably even said it. It's my body. I'll do with it what I want. If it feels good, just do it. I am the master of my own ship and my own fate. You don't have the right to tell me what to do with my body. Oh, we love to be independent. We love our choices. And yet some of those choices can affect us in some very powerful ways. In fact, as we come upon the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, one of those voices says that it is my body. And so I get to decide as I have to deal with an unwanted pregnancy. Yes, the world demands that that power belongs to the individual. It's about my freedom. And yet the truth is we are being lied to. Having worked with several women who went through abortions, there's a lot that's left unsaid and a lot that happens even after. And so Paul was trying to speak to the church of his day because that church wasn't much different than the church in which we find ourselves today. We sometimes believe that I'm the one that gets to decide all of these things. And you see, we live in a world in which our body is somewhat detached from who we are as a child of God. And yet, how untrue that is. It's easy for us to take this body and believe that we have choices. If I want to eat too much, that's okay. If I want to drink too much, that's my problem. Sexual immorality, we live with it every day. As a matter of fact, we are flaunted with it. If you ever watch television, you see it all around you. And to the point that sometimes we just take it for granted. But then there's verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. That was a popular phrase of Paul's day. And yet, think about it. Yes, all things are lawful for me if we take it to the individual freedoms we have. But they are not always helpful. And sometimes they enslave us. If you talk to an alcoholic, you'll see how enslaved they really become. If you talk to someone who is dealing with sexual addiction, they will talk about the slavery they find themselves in. And yet, in verse 13, there's also another slogan. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach is meant for food. And then Paul says, God will destroy both. And then he turns his attention to the most important of those indulgences, sexual immorality. The body does matter. Sexual sins do affect the body. They affect our relationships. And so we live, yes, much like Paul's society, facing the lies of what our culture says to us about the body. Oh, yes, it is my body. I can do what I want. But then we come to that also with freedom. It's my freedom, I can do what I want. You know, we can take a law and say that abortion is okay. And so we have our rights. We could also have a law that says abortion is not okay. We'd still have our rights. Abortion is more than a law. It's a moral question. And no matter whether we have a law for or against, we still have the morality of what it is all about. We can pass a law one way or the other, but it does not diminish from the real question, which is a moral one, about our bodies created by God, belonging not just to us, but to God. This dwelling place we call the body, Paul tells us, is to be a temple belonging to God. What I do with this temple does matter. It matters to God. And so often in our culture, we lose sight of that. Think about it. In your baptism, in our baptism, my baptism, God called us by name. God knows us. We are His. Yes, and in the last part of that epistle, Paul talks about the rights we have. But he who joins himself to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. Think about that. We are one with God. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Think about that. So oftentimes in our world, we get lost in this freedom issue. And freedom is only as much as it depends on, yes, my ability to do certain things, but we also have to take into consideration when my freedom infringes on everybody else's freedom, it is no longer freedom. It's part of the lie that's going around our culture today. We are members of the body of Christ. And it's kind of interesting because it's only a few chapters later, in chapter 12, well, Paul will now talk about the body and its parts and how they belong to one another. It's so easy to slip into the temptations of this world, to ignore what God reminds us and tells us time and time again about who we are. For you see, each of us has been given a body created by a God who loves us, a God who gave us the breath of life, and a God who sent his only Son to suffer, to die, so that we might live that life to its fullest. Yes, when you think about your body, think about what Christ and the price he paid, how he suffered, died, and was raised so that you might live in the freedom you have as a child of God. One of the beauties of the aging process is that when we are young, we think we are infallible. And then we get into marriage and the middle part of life, and we begin to realize all the responsibilities. And yes, sometimes it can weigh us down. And then if by the grace of God we get to live in the latter part of life, as some of us do, it's a time to ponder, to reflect, to realize just how short this life is. And yet, by the grace of God, we can still be his witnesses. We can still share his love and his grace. You see, it is our God who loves us, who formed us, and who called us to be his holy temples. These bodies we live in are temples of the Lord. We don't always do well with that. That's why we need forgiveness and God's abundant grace in our lives. I want to show you a video. Some of you have seen it. Some of you maybe haven't. It's a video, God Knew Your Name. And in that video, it takes us through life. Reminds us who we are. What's interesting about this video, for me at least, is that when I first saw this video and I saw who wrote the song, I said, gee, I went to school with somebody by that name. And I looked it up, and sure enough, the writer of this video and of this song is a classmate of my wife and I. What I can tell you about it is that when I knew Jim way back when, yes, he was kind of a hellion. And yet, you know, God uses each one of us in some very special ways. And I'm amazed how God has used his life to proclaim a powerful message. Our temples, our bodies are temples belonging to God. He knows each one of us. And through this journey we call life, he is there with us. This video gives you an opportunity in visual terms to consider our life, each one of us, and the passages of life that we go through. And so I'd like to end my sermon with showing this short video. We have the lights off, please. Or maybe we don't need them on.
shined on your little face. God knew your name when no one else could see how precious you would be. God knew your name, and he held you so close in his loving hand, and he wanted all to see that before the light of day shined on your little face, God knew your name. Before you walked around, before you first fell down, God knew your name. Before you rode your trike, and in that first red bike, God knew your name. He was with you every day, right there by your side, even when you made mistakes. And before the light of day shined on your little face, God knew your name. Before those wedding bells rang their story well, God knew your name. Before that first new home and children of your own, God knew your name. And through all the times, both the good and bad, he held you in his hand. And before the light of day shined on your little face, God knew your name. As you gracefully grew old, you know you had been told, God knew your name. One day when you died, your friends and family cried, God knew your name. My angels carried your soul to me. I said, welcome home. You were one of mine. I loved you for all time, for I knew your name. You were one of mine. I loved you for all time, for